Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to the show, and welcome. If you have any questions you want to ask, you want to get a private reading, well, actually, if you want to get a reading here on the show tonight, give us a call at 646-721-9031. Again, it's 646-721-9031. We're also looking for sponsorship for our show, and new clients. We got some special rates going on, so therefore you want the details for those. Give us a call at 740-500-8863. I also do private readings, too. I have a shop downtown Manitou Springs, which is actually at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue. We do private readings and that kind of thing, so just use the same number at 740-500-8863. And we set you up and that kind of stuff. We do a fantastic, awesome reading. So therefore, if you want to really get a chance to actually experience one of those awesome readings, you got to contact us. If you don't contact us, no experience. So therefore, give us a call at 740-500-8863 or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Let's see what else. Yes, again, the shop is in Two Springs, Colorado, so if you're a tourist, you're coming in town, that kind of stuff, we get them coming in here all the time. So just come down. We take walk-ins. So it's 946 and a half, Manitou Avenue, right across from Mushroom Mondays, right next to the Flying Eagle T-shirt shop. So that should, it's right down on the main stretch. You should be able to find it, no problem at all. Also, I'd like to welcome my amazing, awesome, insightful, just a very delightful woman, Christina. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Not too, not wonderfully, ecstatic because it's so cold and snowy here, and so I don't get to go out as much as I want to, and the roads are a mess. But, at least the roads are drivable, so I can at least go someplace. I'll be home. Oh, I lost you. Oh, he's deciding to go out on me here. I guess I wait for him to come back. In the meantime, anybody, we have open spaces in the queue that we can take any callers or just want to make comments, questions, reading, share with us something amazing that happened today, I guess, a revelation, an epiphany.
Thank you.
And you're like, oh, and you're back.
Yes. I am.
You're
going
to be doing this to me for the whole evening?
Yeah. What'd you say? It was a little blitz.
I said,
it was a little blitz.
Oh, well.
Good, I'm sorry.
I said, are you going to be popping in and out on me all evening today, tonight?
Yes, I'm like Samantha Steven with her powers are all screwed up. Popping in and out when I least expected.
Exactly.
But you know something? You're a very confident person. You can handle it.
Well,
get on your
feet,
but say,
it's like I'll be just chatting away and all of a sudden you're gone. It's like, okay, I feel awkward.
That's okay, I missed you too. But I try to pop in back as quick as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I was moving things around, see if I could get a better connection and
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I don't like to leave you hanging, but then again, the universe tells me otherwise. So, hey, you know something? You got to get through your head, too, because it's not about you, okay? It's like we're talking on the phone, and you're sitting there going, oh, they don't want me talking, so therefore, forget it. Just look at the signs. I'm sitting there going, really? I have the same signs with everybody else, too, so you know what? Anyway, I'm serious. I'm talking to someone else, and I'm going, okay, I got clients. They keep going, where'd you go? Who cares where I went? I'm back. It is getting kind of irritating, and I'm going to take care of it pretty soon. That's why I want to get this thing taken care of with the situation, moving and getting everything situated, because I've already found two alternatives where I can actually get a very cheap internet, and I can also get a home phone and start doing it from my home phone. And then we have chosen my phone, my cell phone, and we can talk on the other phone. Then I'm really going to think that there's a conspiracy going on if that keeps losing that connection. But yeah, so this could be unlimited long distance and stuff from a home phone for only $45. So if you guys want to, we could sit there and maybe we get Straight Talk as the freaking sponsor, because you know something? I get a Straight Talk phone, and it's one of those things I thought was great. Customer service, to be honest with you, sucks. Because half of me can't understand it because they have such a thick accent. But, $45 a month for unlimited everything, and I got an Android. I actually got the Android phone, this last one I got, and this was fantastic.
Yeah.
It's the same phone I had before, the Android I had before. But this time
right.
I got it for $35, and I paid $45 for the minutes and stuff. And then I had to, the other phone I had to get some minutes for it because, you know, it was right there on the day of doing the show, so I had to get minutes for that phone. At the same time, I already had this phone. I got ordered off the internet, so it was already coming to me, which actually worked in my favor because now I actually was able to pay 2 months in advance on my minutes, so I don't have to worry about nothing until the end of March. So that was kind of cool. I was wanting to do that because they actually have certain. See, Straight Talk is really cool because they don't have a $45 plan. They also have a thing where you can actually, you can actually buy a full year for $400.
Cool.
And you're paid up for the whole year. If you want to pay it for 3 months, it's $125. If you want to pay it for 6 months, it's $225. I look at the situation going, I remember being with Sprint and T-Mobile where I actually had months where I paid $200, you know?
Uh-huh.
That's why I switched to Straight Talk. I mean, I don't want to deal with the customer service sometimes. So I try not to do it. I mean, my phone as much as I can to talk to the Spanish guys in Mexico. But wherever they're at. They keep saying Florida, but I think it's just kind of bullshit. But it was one of those things where you switch and you go, okay, this is great, because seriously, you got data, you got texting, and you got minutes. And it's unlimited everything for 30 days. I mean, I would actually switch from Sprint. Sprint was like one of those things where I was paying $150 a month. And then they hit me with this one thing. I think this was the one thing that made me switch. Was the idea where I sit there and I said, what's this thing here? You're charging me, I think it was like $200 extra. I'm going, what is this? And they go, oh, you don't have unlimited if you call somebody's house phone. Okay, but my definition of unlimited means unlimited, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they get, how it works. They give you one of those stories and you're going, oh, forget this because they're not going to give in. So I switched. Surprise. It was interesting. And now they got this thing where you buy this piece of equipment for $79 and you got a home phone. And after that, it's only $45 a month for that. Unlimited long distance. You can actually call anywhere in the world. I like that. And also, this is another one I like to. If I decide to move, I don't have to call someone to transfer my phone. I just unplug it from the freaking thing on the phone, the whole thing, and just take it with me. And I can also do this, too. Like, if I want to go to a friend's house and I don't want to use their phone, I can still use mine. Just take it with you.
Yep.
Yeah, freaky. And then they have this thing where you buy this. It's another piece of equipment you buy for $79 for Internet. And this is even better because Internet only costs $15 a month. I guess it's unlimited Internet, right? I'm sorry. Am I boring you or something?
I was like, and there you go, ladies and gentlemen, your Straight Talk commercial, for the evening.
Yeah, Straight Talk, if you're out there, we'd love to have some sponsorship for the show, and yes, I'm talking to you. So if you're actually listening some way on the computer going, is he talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. That's going to be kind of weird, too. So we just get things out of the way and stuff like that. I really haven't talked to you almost all week. So things are going good for you. I think that's okay to say I missed you, right?
Yeah.
Because see, you can be in your situation. You could be in your own world, and you don't have to miss me because you can take the phone and call me anytime. I cannot.
I don't understand why not.
Okay.
Yes,
I'm going to call you tomorrow.
Never mind. Nope. I understand that. Never mind.
Oh wow. Okay. Cool. I'm just saying.
After 2 to 3 hour phone calls with you straight, yeah, no. I'd never get anything done.
Are we talking night? What are you going to be doing at night? You going to do some vacuum at 3 o'clock in the morning? Come on.
I used to do that.
I know.
Before 2010, I used to do that because with young children, it was pretty much the only time I had to do any cleaning or laundry or anything without having to stop every 5 minutes to take care of something for them. But, I would be up cleaning my house at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and then I swear to God, by 10 o'clock that morning, it would be dirty again. And I was just like,
yeah.
I did it for years. I was like, oh, I'm not getting any sleep. I'm mad. I'm frustrated. I'm depressed and all this kind of stuff. And I finally was like, why in the world am I doing this for? Nobody comes over or visits or anything. So what's the point of having a spotless house if nobody ever sees it? So I'm like, screw
that.
Yeah,
that's the worst, isn't it?
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's
that's
three,
the worst,
you know,
I understand.
It's three against one, so I figured, you know what? They're the one making the mess. They can clean it when it gets to the point where they can't stand it. So.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
I understand. It's the same thing. I had a fiance, kids, and I feel like I was cleaning the house 24/7. We had one house that had nothing but a linoleum floor through the whole freaking place. And if we get a little rainstorm going that day, I have freaking mud footprints for almost the entire. They all look at you like, what? Never mind. I'll just wait till you guys all collapse and clean it up like always. But I did get frustrated after a while. We moved to my brother's house, and he had hardwood floors and that kind of stuff. I said, hey, you know, guys, this is a freaking great house. Y'all got your own rooms and stuff. So I thought maybe things get a little better. That's what I get for thinking. I was actually cleaning the house every 4 hours going, I just cleaned this. I just mopped this floor. I did this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it looks like they just took their rooms and just brought her out to the front room. And I was just like,
well, and that's the thing is, like, I spend all that time cleaning one room, and then I go off and do something, clean something else, and I come back, and the room I just cleaned, it's dirty again. It's like, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so as of 2010, I said, you know what, screw it, I'm done. And I'm just going to do what I want to do when I want to do it, and if I'm here, I'm here. If I'm not, I'm not, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are old enough to take care of yourselves and, you know, mature enough or whatever, so
mm-hmm.
I'm tired of babysitting and cleaning every minute of every day, so and getting on everybody and, you know, making everybody miserable because of doing all the things that you're supposed to do or you should do, even though, you know, I've said
mm-hmm.
it a million times. So,
yeah.
And ever since then, being a whole lot happier and have lots of changes and done all kinds of things that I never thought I'd be able to do, and maybe that was the best decision in my life.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm going to start, you know, looking out for me now and
mm-hmm.
made a world of difference, so.
It was hard for a while because I sit there and go, hey, forget it. You got to clean your own shit up. And I sit there and I came to the front room one day and going, I don't see how you guys can actually just sit there and look at that stuff on the floor. I was having a real hard time just looking at it going, let's just walk by. Don't pick it up. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't not have a freaking dirty house. I got to just go. And I reached over and started picking things up again. It wasn't until I've always worked at home. And I had everything hooked up, the internet, and we had Time Warner at that time, so we had one of those bundles. And I was working one night doing the psychic stuff and working and working and working. And then they started making noises and slamming the house, and there's all kind of crazy stuff. Anyway, I don't know. It's just kind of a weird thing watching people do things.
Mm-hmm.
Can anybody hear me?
I can hear you.
You can't hear? Okay,
yeah.
Cool. I think everybody's sitting there going, how can this be a spiritual show? Really? I think it's like, get really spiritual before you kill your kids.
Exactly. Well, I just looked at it as what was my motivation for, you know, having all this stuff done and doing all this stuff, and it was just because that's what I thought was expected of me, and, you know, that's what you did, and, you know, you're like, oh, you sacrificed for your children and everything like that, and it's like, no, I don't buy into that. It's like, you know, when somebody says, what does your mom do, you know, it's like, they don't know, because all, you know, everything mom does is for them, and mom doesn't do anything for herself. So it's like, you know, who is your mom? It's like, oh, mom cooks and mom cleans, and, you know, mom makes us do our homework, and she, you know, yells and nags at us and everything. And it's like, that's not what I wanted, you know. My kid write a paper on me, and that's all they could come up with? Nope. That wasn't going to fly with me, you know. What's my obituary going to say, you know? Oh, she always packed our lunches every day, and she, you know, did our laundry really well, and kept the house clean. Wow, there's a life well spent. So, I wanted my kids to be able to have something that they could write about, and I think I've done a pretty good job of that. Well, so I have tried to keep myself active and busy and always learning and changing, taking my time and see who and what I am and what I want to do, new experiences, new people. Feel free to call in now that I've lost Donnie here for a little bit. I'm talking to you, Phil, wondering what's going on. I do have a number in the queue where it's all ones, and usually those are kind of odd numbers. So if that's anybody in the chat room that's waiting, feel free to type in who you are in the chat room. So I know before I click on this number, because sometimes these numbers are trolls, and I really don't want to troll this evening, please. Those are very awkward and uncomfortable. So is it, let's see. Usually those numbers I say, is that you, Doc, that's hanging out in the queue with me? Because if it is you, then I will click on it. And you can talk to me while I'm waiting for Daddy to get back through. No, it is not me. Okay, cool. I wonder who it is then. They're usually scary numbers. I guess I'm going to do it. Fingers crossed that it's not anybody weird.
Hello.
Hello, caller. It's Christina. What's your name?
Hi, it's Vicky, and I'm not a troll.
Oh, good. No, you never know with these numbers that come up with, like, one, because all it shows on my queue is 1111111.
I thought that was funny. I said, no, I'm not a troll.
Oh, my God. Yikes.
Yeah.
Hey, you can keep me company.
I'm like, that was too funny. I'm like, no, I'm not a troll. So I think this is my first time probably listening. So I don't know exactly, do you guys do readings or you're just more,
Well, all kinds of things. Sometimes we can just, you know, answer if you want some advice on something, or if you want a reading, or some people want like a specific kind of reading. I'm not well versed in them yet, so usually that's Donnie's side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, but Donnie swears up and down that I have a pretty good intuition and psychic, you know, some of my psychic ability. So
okay.
If there's a particular question you have or something you want to talk about, I'm
well,
here.
For me, it's work. I am actively looking for work, so just calling in to see exactly what you see.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a little burnt out.
Where are you from?
I'm in Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay. Oh, tough place
Washington,
to live.
D.C., huh? Whoa.
Yeah, this is Vic. Yeah, Dottie's back. This is Vicky from Washington, D.C. And
mm-hmm.
she's He's looking for, I'm assuming, looking for a career change.
Well, I'm looking for a job. I've been out of work. I was laid off, so I've been out of work for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in D.C., huh?
Yeah.
I used to hang out in Georgetown all the time, down at the library.
Oh, yeah.
The vault.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, those are bars and hangouts and that kind of thing. We used to go to the Dome, but I heard the Dome closed down, so that was kind of disappointing.
Oh, yeah, they closed that.
But,
yeah,
so that was interesting. But you tell me, you know, the thing I get the most with you right now is the idea you should think about a career instead of just getting a job. I understand where you're at and in your status and that kind of stuff like that. I'm just saying in the process of looking for a job, you should also be focusing on what would you like to do with your life.
I know what I want to do, and I know what I need to do. It's just that there are certain things that I need to do to get to that point.
Okay. I'm just saying with the idea of a job and what you are looking there, to tell you the truth, I actually keep getting it around 2 weeks. That could be something that you could put to rest.
Okay. Is it something that I've applied for or something that I haven't looked at or an interview coming up or?
The impression I get is it's something you haven't applied for yet.
Okay.
I keep getting the impression this next week you should be out and about. For some reason I keep getting Thursday. It seems like a really good keys coming to me very close and the idea of being out and about that you're going to see something that's you never thought about, because I've lived in Maryland, and I used to go down D.C. all the time, and I think the one thing I liked about the area was some of the jobs I would never consider, because I didn't think I was qualified for. I just applied for them anyway.
Right.
And a couple couple of acts you got, so yeah. So I get the impression that's really kicking for you, so therefore I just, you know, it's not, some people say keep your eyes open. No, it's the idea of keeping your intuition open. Because you know as well as I do, Maryland and D.C. and some of those places, you walk into, I got mad at a guy one time because he interviewed me for a job, right? I go in there, I talk to the guy, and after I get done with the interview, he looks at me and goes, we don't have any openings right now. I was in the face, I said, do me a favor, don't waste people's time. I said, great, you want to keep yourself busy, you want to sit there and be a manager, great. But don't waste my time. I could have been somewhere else actually getting an interview at somebody who does have openings. And it's kind of people think that's kind of rude, but I think it's the idea of putting it out there that your time is valuable.
Yep.
And that's what I'm saying. Listen to your intuition because I think it's going to really bring you in. It might not be Thursday, but I just feel like Thursday is a key point. So therefore, you know, keep yourself out and about in the last parts of the week. So I still feel like that the idea of your job situation can be taken care of in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks. Okay. Yeah, I've been, you know, I've had quite a few interviews and, I'm just exhausted.
They are mentally and emotionally draining.
Exactly.
I
mean, oh my God, yesterday was really bad. I had, and I'm fortunate because I'm talking to a lot of people and they're like, well, at least you're getting interviews. I'm not getting any. But I was so exhausted by Friday. It's like, oh my God, I wanted to cry. That's how exhausted I was. That's how exhausted I was. It was just like, I am so tired of interviewing. My God.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm grateful. You know, I am grateful. No, I am grateful because there's a lot of people out there that they're not even getting hits on their resume at all. At least I am getting interviews. You know what I mean? So I am grateful, but I was just exhausted. It's draining. Mentally, emotionally, it is draining.
And I usually get so tired of having to wear pantyhose. If I got to put on a pair of pantyhose one more time, I'm going to scream.
But you know what? The good thing with this now, I mean, things have changed so much. They're doing a lot of phone interviews. And then if they really like you, then they bring you in, you know. So, that's what they're doing now. They're doing everything is phone interviews. And if you pass that stage, then they'll bring you in.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, but I was exactly. It's just like going up, and I'm like, okay, I'm burning my gas. I'm going. I'm like, okay, I'm enough already. I need a job.
Yeah, you're only getting stuck on the Beltway with a freaking 5-speed going. Whoop, whoop, you know, I've done that.
Yeah.
You know, I've said we come back from Virginia, coming back across the Potomac, and people don't realize that you're actually like you feel like you're in a freaking parking lot because everything's at a standstill.
And how long ago were you here?
The last time I was there, it was like in the mid-90s.
Oh my God, it's worse
there for over.
It's worse now. The traffic is. Oh my God, it's worse. It really is. It's bad. It's bad.
Here's a question for you. Have you ever gone off of 270 into Bethesda? I forget to ever
yes.
that because
yes.
go down that
yes,
one.
But I'm
if
telling
you, come
you
in, if you're
it's
from Gettysburg and you come up. It was only one. 8 lanes coming to one lane.
Mhm. But I'm telling you, it's worse. I'm telling you, it's to get from DC just to go into Alexandria. I mean, it's what 10 minutes. It could probably take you 40 minutes, an hour, depends on what time of the day. It's horrible. It's really bad. I guess we lost him.
Yeah, we lost him. Poor guy. He's trying so hard. It's the location
yeah.
where he's at there with the weather, with the snow and stuff up there. It's really messing with their cell towers and everything.
Yeah.
So, but.
Yeah, but I'm just open for something to come through and, you know.
I'm just curious, what is it you want to do?
I want to be a therapist. I want to be a clinical therapist. Psychologist. Yeah, to be a psychologist. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, so
you have to finish. You have to do school and
exactly.
And all
so
that kind
I said
of stuff.
I just need to get a job so I can finish
mm-hmm.
up and do what I need to do. I can't do it without not having any job. You know, I need a job.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah, that's a little difficult. Well, hopefully you'll get a job where it's in the field so you can at least get credits for practical experience.
But you see, the thing about it, getting a job in the field, they don't really pay unless they're going to pay like $10 an hour. Trust me, Washington,
wow.
D.C., there's no way you can live off to make $10 an hour.
Oh, God, yeah, no joke. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, seriously, man, if you ever lived in Maryland or D.C. area, when we lived in Maryland, we lived in close, at least in Gaithersburg, and for one bedroom, unfurnished apartment, at that time, this was like an 85, 86, it was $725.
Okay, that's double now.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the good news. I'm never
yeah,
going to be back there.
That's doubled, trust me. It's a very expensive area. I mean, it's a nice area, but it's expensive.
Well, yeah, because some of those areas have gotten worse, too, because I remember my mom used to live in Montgomery Village, and it was a great place to live, but it's kind of like certain things are kind of like, I don't care what anybody says, when you bring some kind of security into a place, it seems like it makes things worse.
Yeah, yeah.
We never had no security, and I was trying to tell a friend of mine, I was like, I have nothing against Section 8 housing or anything like that, but it just seems like there are certain patterns that you got to look at and see
yeah,
what happens. My
is.
Mom was living
yeah,
in...
Yeah.
And
yeah,
my mom was paying for a freaking townhouse, and it was, what was it, $1,800? I don't even want to go back down. I didn't figure what it is. And Bethesda, for this apartment, we're talking between $1,300 and $1,600.
Yeah. But they
people
still have
say,
Montgomery. Montgomery County still has, their school system is still very good, though.
Yeah, it was actually one of the best, and I guess they're talking about the best one in that area.
Yeah, yeah. Montgomery and Fairfax County, they have one of the best. And Loudoun County now. Loudoun County is right up there. So.
Yeah, because I remember, yeah, we loved it being there because my daughter was basically taking classes. And when we moved back to Ohio, she was actually like 5 times more advanced than the kids in Ohio, and they were all in the
yeah.
same grade.
Yeah. But then you're talking about it depends on when how high you are too. Because Ohio is good rough. I have a girlfriend up there. I was telling her, I'm like, I've been living in D.C. since 1999. I've never heard a gunshot. And I went up to Ohio, and my son was like, Ma, there's gunshot. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh man, don't get Donnie started on Ohio. You'll be here with us for the remaining hour and a half.
Oh my gosh. So, you know, I guess it depends on where you are in Ohio. It depends.
Apparently you ticked him off so much about talking about Ohio, we lost him again.
I know, right?
She's like, Ohio? I don't want to talk about Ohio.
Yeah,
that's a place he lived for quite a lot. And it's like every time he talks about Ohio, it's like, oh, this is not going to be good.
I guess it depends on where, though, because I've been to Akron, and it was pretty nice there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other areas that I've been to. Oh, it's just like, ooh, hey.
Yeah. That's pretty depressed area.
Yeah, I'm like,
well,
okay.
Well, so did we cover it for you?
I feel a little better. So he said in the next mm-hmm. 2 weeks, and I should focus on Thursday. So
yeah.
I have a few, go ahead.
I'm sorry, just open yourself to all kinds of possibilities, things you don't even think you would qualify for. Just go for it anyways. You never know.
I know, and I made a decision yesterday that I have 3 interviews set up for next week, and I'm not going to send out any resume or anything. I just need to take a mental break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so next week I'm just going to focus on those 3 interviews, and that's it. I'm just taking a break because this week was very rough. It was bad.
I don't blame you. I should definitely tell you, I mean, tomorrow, you know, just get your feet up, have some tea, you know.
No, I think I'm
going to
be doing exactly, and I have an interview Monday, and I have one Tuesday, and I have one Wednesday, and I'm just going to focus on those 3 for next week, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully something will pan out, but I need to take a break. I do.
Your friends are right. The fact that you're getting interviews, there's definitely mean there's something about you, you know, in your
resume.
In
that's
appealing. That they're not getting it. So kind of like that. Before you know it, you know, you'll get 3 or 4 offers, and then your dilemma is going to be,
you know what?
Do I take?
That's exactly what's going to happen. I already know. I can see it. I can feel it, and I can taste it. It's like I probably have 1, 2, 3, 4 offers. It's like, okay, which one do I, or which is it, you know?
Which,
so,
I guess, for that, you know, that what you can do while you're waiting then is just sit down and think about what is it you want, and what is it
right.
you want, and what is it going to take to be able to get that. So when those offers do come in, you can be able to decide, you know.
Decide which is,
this
yeah,
one,
but I know
yeah,
that's
which,
gonna happen.
This, is this going to meet this want and this need is better than this one, and it will definitely make your decision, you know, a whole lot easier.
Yep.
If you already know it going in, what your needs are and what your wants are.
And I do. So
yeah.
I know. I just, you know, kind of put it out there to the universe to guide me and show me some signs, and hopefully that will
mm-hmm.
manifest.
Okay. Well, do you?
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Do you want to keep listening, or do you?
Yeah,
I'll
listen for a minute. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks.
Hello.
All right. Hello. Yes.
Do me a favor.
As soon as she mentioned the word Ohio, you ducked out.
Oh, really? So there's a connection there somewhere, huh?
It was so funny because you got down about Ohio and going to Ohio and gunshots, and you ducked out. I was like, that was perfect timing. It could have been much better. It was awesome. And she just busted out laughing.
So let me tell you something right now real quickly. I want to switch. I want you to call in as the host, and I'm going to call in. And see if the energy changes a little bit. So therefore,
okay.
if things pick up and we go into overtime, if they lose me, we don't lose the whole freaking show. So
okay.
So I'm going to hang up. Why don't you do me a favor? I got to hang up because you can't call in if I don't.
Right.
I will see.
Okay. Okay, you logged out. Yeah, so And we're trying to get this figured out so that we don't lose something prematurely here. Technical difficulties are always fun. They test your patience. And then we can get back some of our callers, so please be patient. I see you there in the queue waiting so nicely. Ah, there you go. Okay, I see you there, Donnie.
You see me?
You there? Yeah, I see you.
Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to hang up and call through the host number. Is that what you're wanting?
Son of a bitch.
You always laugh at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hang up, so back in a second.
Okay. Alrighty. No problem. My goodness. Let's see if we get a bathroom. We don't. Figures. Okay. Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got a couple callers in the queue again here. Let's see. Let's do 917. Hello, 917. Are you there? 917? Here.
917.
Oh, well. We'll go to 805. Hello, 805.
Hi, how are you? Hello.
Good.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you? I'm Donna.
Okay. Hey, Donna. How's it going?
Is this my Hawaii lady?
Huh?
You sound familiar.
I don't know.
Where are you from, Donna?
I'm from California.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you have a question for us this evening?
Yeah, I do. I've been emailing this fellow. He lives in Spain. His name is Nando. He's 61. I'm 60. And he's a widower, and he works for a bank. And we've been talking now on the phone, and I'm thinking of Skyping, and then he talked about coming out here in a couple months to meet me, and I wanted to know, how is this going to go with him, do you think?
Hmm. How long have you known each other?
Well, just, you know, not too long, you know, like a month, but, you know, we're talking on the phone and really getting to know each other, and I wouldn't mind, you know, I could move there if I had to, you know, if I fell in love, I could move to Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let's see, I'm just saying, look at the situation going, it seems like it's a very positive situation.
Oh, good. Yeah, we seem to have a lot in common.
So the thing that came to me the most is the idea of paying attention as you're going through this situation, getting to know each other and listening to yourself, how it resonates with you.
Yeah.
It's a very positive situation.
Yeah, there is a chemistry. I mean, I like his picture. He likes my picture. You know,
mm-hmm.
we like each other on the phone. You know, like I said, he's a widower, and I'm 60, and I've never been married, you know. So, I mean, the only way
mm-hmm.
I would move to Spain is if I got married. There's no way I'm going to go. Well, you can't anyway. You can only live there for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just love countries out there. It's like our country is the only one that says, come on down. You know, these other countries, it's just like, just a bunch of control freaks, huh? Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
well,
true.
Just saying with the situation, you said it resonates with you very well. I'm just saying that's the one thing you need to really pay attention to in the idea of getting to know each other. It's like not trying to figure him out. Too much people trying to figure everybody out when you should just see it for what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because I've had so many questions lately where people are going, what's he doing? How's he feel? What's he doing right now? I was like, why do you need to do all? Why do you need to know all this stuff? I think sometimes knowing too much in those situations can actually hinder the idea of getting to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if you want to look at a downside of it, in some sense, to know, and then it kind of kills the idea of getting to know each other. I really think that's crazy. Ugh.
Yeah, and also I like my alone time. So, you know, what he's doing and all, that's okay mm-hmm. with me. But he did say in one of the letters that he decided to look elsewhere because he had some problems with women there, and I'm wondering if I should ask him what were those problems. I don't know.
So why not?
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Yeah, what was the problem? You know, why? You know, why did he have all these problems mm-hmm. with the women there? Who knows? You know?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you open those doors, yeah, I'm just
Well, I'm glad you got a good feeling about it. I seem to have a good feeling about it, but, you know, I'm going very slow. We're going slow because it takes me a while to trust someone. I mean, this could be a scammer. This could be someone that's
mm-hmm.
not even from Spain. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, I understand what you mean. That's why I keep saying the idea of listening to yourself, listen to your intuition, listen to how it feels within. You know, it's like I pay attention to the feelings and twinges more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been on dating services, and it's like, you know, there's been three. I know there was. It was kind of funny. I was actually on this one called Mate One, I think it was called, and then I met three girls in the same day. And they were all from the same place, all from South Africa and Ghana or something like that. And they all have these little stories, you know. I'm a model. I'm a, what was it, a model. It was another one. It was just, she was over there with her mother. And this is the thing that got me the most you got to pay attention to is the stories. The stories are not any different. It was always moving. They moved to South Africa because of their father's job. Well, 2 weeks after they got there, the father got killed in a car accident, and then soon after, the mother got taken out by something stupid, too, as well. So she's over there by herself. Or else it's the idea of a model, we're doing a shoot over here. And it's like paying attention to what people say, because she said told me she was from North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked her a question, you know. She came off like she was born in North Carolina. And then later on in the conversation, she came off and said that she was actually born in New Jersey and then moved to North Carolina at a very young age. So I have a tendency to listen to everything they say, and I put my own little twist into the whole thing. And I actually told her, I told her I was a psychic and stuff. I was very upfront with her. And then in the conversation, it was just so many variables where she was being very cautious about what she was saying. She was very constrained. And they really want you to know each other, they don't do that. You don't constructively construct your sentences to hide certain things or to motivate someone to do something if you're not being sincere. So I was sitting there listening to her talk, and I was just like, she keeps saying she's going to sell her laptop. And then she would say nonchalantly, if I don't have enough money for the plane ticket to come over there, could you make up the difference? No, I can't, you know. And I was sitting there going, and then finally I just turned around and said, okay, do you really want to know what I do for a living? Because I just wanted to see what she was up to. And she goes, yeah, what do you really do for a living? I said, I work for the FBI for internet fraud. Click.
Oh,
that was so much
my
freaking
God.
Silence. It was pretty intense. Cricket. But but it was kind of funny because this happened 3 times in one day.
Wow. Oh, that's unreal.
But I'm just saying, when you listen to yourself, there's something that will, not just what they say, it's also something you feel. You
mm-hmm.
will feel that. And right now, it seems like you're in a situation where don't let yourself be caught of where you try to let go of the past. And that's what I was telling, that's basically what we say about the idea of why it's so important to let go of the past, so therefore you can actually look at the situation you're in right now for what it really is.
Yeah. That makes
sense. Yes. So look at the situation when you start getting a little doubts or you get a little fearful, ask yourself where it's really coming from. Is it a residual from a past experience you had before when someone wasn't being truthful? Or is it really something within his voice, his mannerisms, or something he said? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to sit there and look at the situation of two people getting to know each other. It seems like it's really positive, but at the same time, I feel like he's got some insecurities and certain things he's gone through and the ideal he hasn't dealt with. I think he's had some problem with women, but I don't think they're the sole problem. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So keep your mind open to the whole thing. But it's not one of those things where you look at somebody scamming you. It's just that he has issues that he's had with relationships before that he hasn't dealt with, so they're coming to the surface in the process of connecting with people where he might back off for a moment. But it's just in processing a thing. And like you said before, you think you should ask, when you think you should ask him questions, and you think you should, since he already brought us, I have problems with women, there's nothing wrong with you asking and saying, well, what were those problems? Because if he doesn't know, then it's more of a problem with himself.
yeah, definitely. I want to find out, yeah. So, I'll ask. Also, tell me what you're picking up with. I have a friend back east, and I haven't heard from him in 6 weeks. He's an elderly friend in the 80s. And is he going to call me soon or something? Like, he did send me on New Year's a card, and then he sent me a $100 check as a gift. But I haven't heard from him since.
God, I need some friends like that. Anyway. I get the impression you're going to hear from him. I keep getting in 2 weeks.
Good.
Okay. 2 weeks. That means within the 2 weeks, not 2 weeks from now. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. See, I like to talk to him more often, but the weather's been bad back in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a lot of reasons. Plus, he's pretty old, but he has people taking care of him there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good.
Yeah, just certain things that keep coming up and that kind of stuff. But I get definitely.
But there's no reason for him to be mad at me or anything like that because, nothing's happened. You know what I mean? I've just been his loyal friend.
No, it's just circumstances. I don't get any idea of it.
Sometimes I take things personally. I think we all do, sort of. You know what I mean? It could be nothing to do with me. Yeah, I take things personally.
I think we all have a tendency to do that from time to time because of where we come from, where we've been through.
Like when somebody's in a bad mood, sometimes I take it personally. It has nothing to do with me.
That is their
bad mood.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
So, Christina, you pick anything?
My only thing is, like, it's only been a month, and does he come over to the United States often? I mean, if he works for a bank,
He has come over here, and I think he'll be planning on coming in a couple months.
Okay. As long as it's part of his work and not specifically to see you.
No, I think it's to see me.
Okay. Well, my only thing is to be upfront with him, saying, does he expect to stay with you, or is he getting a hotel room and stuff? Because you'll be amazed on how many people assume...
Oh, no, I already...
Oh,
I already
let him stay with you.
No, I already let him know. You know, I don't want him to think, you know, because I live in Santa Barbara, which is a real rich area, and I don't want him to think that I have money. So, you know, I just told him the way it is. You know, I live in a little apartment. I have my sister living in my living room, which I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Helping her out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at least he knows my situation. You know, I'm not going to let him fantasize that, you know, I'm a rich woman that lives in Santa Barbara, you know?
Yeah.
Forget
well,
that
that's
one.
The thing. It's like, as long as you're up front with him about saying, hey, you know, yeah, you can come and we'll go spend time together and stuff, but, you know, you're not bunking with me. You know?
Well, I told him I take things very slow. I told him I take things
mm-hmm.
very slow and... You know, I want to be friends first, good friends, and, you know, he's okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
So he says.
But yeah, yeah, but like Donnie, yeah, like, I mean, Donnie mentioned it because that was my thing of the whole making sure that, I just lost my train of thought. God, I hate it when that happens. that. He's the common denominator in all his women problems. So
mm-hmm.
when you ask him about, you know, what do you think the problem is with your, you know, that you're having with the women, if he doesn't take some responsibility in it,
mm-hmm.
then it's not, it's him, and it's not going to change. He's going to keep having problems until he can internalize it and see what it is he's doing also. Not saying they're perfect, you know, but it's kind of one of those things when somebody gets divorced and you ask them, so what went wrong? There'll be this one answer of, well, she's, you know, she's psycho. She's
yeah.
a psycho, you know, or I cheated, you know, and or she cheated on me. It's like, okay, I understand that, and that's, you know, that's a deal breaker. But, you know, do you know, you know, especially with women, we don't just wake up one day and decide to cheat. So it's like, what was going on in your relationship before the cheating happened? And if he's like, I don't know, I thought we were perfectly fine, then that's an issue there too. Because there are so many signs before that kind of thing happens. So just
mm-hmm.
see if he's open to taking some of the blame for the
mm-hmm.
relationship failures. If he's open to that and he's honest about that, then I would be more comfortable, you know. But if he's always focused like, well, they're crazy, they're psycho, or they want more than what I can give and all, you know, it's not him trying to, you know, evaluate himself and see if there's places he could improve on or, you know, mistakes he made. Because nobody's perfect.
Right. Yeah.
So that would be the thing
yeah,
I would look for to make sure that you notice or not.
Yeah, because when you're in a relationship, you want that,
mm-hmm.
you know, where the person is willing to work on themselves. You know, I think it's an ongoing thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both people, and then having that right kind of communication. So, yeah, I'm going to ask him and see what he says, definitely.
Yeah, because you don't, you know, you want to see if he's willing to take responsibility for things.
Yeah,
if he can't take responsibility for things early in this relationship, he's not going to take it later on.
Wow, that's true. Yeah, okay, yeah. See how mature he is, you know?
Yeah, just because you're in your 60s doesn't mean you know you are automatically mature.
No, boy, that's the truth. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Oh, my.
Yeah, you know these things, Miss Thing.
Yeah, well, until you're in it, yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of good because I get to really, I guess, know him somewhat, talking to him a lot. I'm going to try Skype.
Yeah, and actually yeah. Skype sometimes too will help because you can actually see the facial expressions. You know, when you say something, the initial facial expressions to see what the real response is to what you're saying is and all that kind of stuff. Can't hide that.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So, and how fast he responds to answers to what you ask and things like that. And so, yeah, definitely, I would definitely do that. And like I said, you know, you both are up at an age that you do not need to be playing games. There are no games that need to be played. You all are way too old for that. No offense.
Oh, no, really. Yeah, that's totally true.
We've both been there, done that. You know, we can be real and we can be ourselves and we don't need to impress each other, you know,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you know what's going on. You know who you are and what you want and what you like and what you need. And if you're 60 years old and you haven't been married yet, then, you know, you have confidence that you're not just going to settle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And don't lose
I've been in long-term relationships.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and don't lose that confidence in what you want and what you need just because, you know, other people will be like, I don't understand. Like, well,
uh-huh.
I am
right.
who I am, and I'm going to continue being who I am, and I'm not going to make excuses or, you know, change because I'm happy with myself, and as long
yes.
as I'm happy with myself, I can be happy anywhere with anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as, the person's treating you with respect and kindness and, yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I want someone that's fun, too. He
mm-hmm.
sounds fun, though. He does sound fun. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
so that's good. Yeah, and that part's good.
Right.
You have to do a lot of fun things. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate this.
You're welcome. Yeah.
All right. You have a
You're
nice
welcome.
Evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Right. Yeah. I don't know. I don't
mm-hmm.
get that sometimes. You know, people from, like,
mm-hmm.
half a world away, you know, chatting with somebody
mm-hmm.
else, you know, for a possible relationship. It's like, I don't know. I don't quite understand it. Like, have you gone through all the people in your country and on that continent, on that side of the, you know, on your side of the, you know, that hemisphere?
Mm-hmm.
So you now had to go into
okay.
a totally different side of the world to find somebody? What's going on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like that sometimes, you know. I've been through it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was doing that. I was working on a random. And a girl came in the chat room, and we started talking and stuff, and had a lot of things in common and stuff. So she, so I told her, I said, I can't tell you anything. But I feel like if you can find me, then maybe there's a reason why.
Mm-hmm.
And she found me on Blog Talk Radio, and it was kind of, I was sitting there on Blog Talk Radio, checking my emails, I'm going, who the heck is this? So I sitting there turning on the thing, I'm going, oh, she found me. So, but yeah, I was listening to what you said about this Skype thing, and you're right. You can watch people's expressions
mm-hmm.
and the eyebrows kind of turk up and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you can talk and the vibration of their voices and that kind of stuff. So
exactly.
you can learn a lot of things. And then you start,
body,
you know, it's
body
like...
Body language.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, if you really get into a deep relationship, there's one thing, you know, people start talking and communicating and they do certain things. Like she sit there and which... kind of got her in trouble later on, but what she started doing was she said, well, I want to talk to you on the phone. I want to hear your voice during the day because I can't talk on Skype all the time. I said, okay, fine, call me. Well, at that time, she was in England. She was in this place called Ludlow, England, and I was sitting there going, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
I forget there's a 6 hours difference. So when she calls me, when she calls me, I think it's like noon. It was 4 o'clock in the morning here. So
mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there half asleep, and then the phone rings. I'm going, who in the hell's calling me at 4 o'clock in the morning? It was her. She goes, hey, you guys up? You know, doing your little thing. I'm going, no, it's still dark. But, It was kind of fascinating to sit there and talk to her while it's dark here. And I was sitting there talking to her one night. And I saw the sun come up on that side of the world. That was kind of cool. I was like, there's something you don't see every freaking day. And just all the certain things that were going on. But see, the one thing I noticed about two people, you know, you get to know people and that kind of stuff. You just got to sit there and it's a little more delicate because you're not seeing them in person and stuff all the time. But there were certain things that happened in the relationship that was just like your typical relationship, typical people lying to you. I was like, we used to have this thing where we'd talk to each other, and then she would sit there and say certain things, like she was being bugged by this one guy. And she goes, if you don't believe me, just ask your angels. I said, I will. So I asked my angels, and they would say, oh, yeah, it's just one of those things, and they would confirm it. Now, later on in the relationship, it was a little bit different. I noticed that every time that she got a chance to talk to me on Skype or I was off of work, she was always calling me on Skype. All of a sudden, she calls me on Skype, and now this is the thing I was telling people to watch out for things out of the ordinary, when it was like she calls me on Skype, but she won't come on camera. And I said, so what's up with this? She's always excited about this whole thing, every freaking time except for this one time. And I was just like, okay, what's up, you know? And she goes, what makes you think there's something up? I said, because you won't come on camera. She goes, well, and what happened was she told me that, talked to me the night before, and said that she had this old friend of hers that she hadn't seen in years, named James. I don't like guys named James, anyway. But got the thing coming up, right? And I said, okay, no problem. And then the next time I talked to her, she wouldn't come on camera. She said, well, me and James, he came over and that kind of stuff, and he stayed over here for a while. We basically talked about old times and that kind of stuff, and I'm just exhausted. I won't go to bed. And there's something that's gnawing at me, right? There's just something wrong about this whole thing. So, as usual, I asked my angels about the whole thing and said that she'd reconnected with an old boyfriend. Well, she didn't sleep with him, but she slept with James. And she said she feels bad about it. She realized how she cares about you, but she doesn't know how to address it, right? So I'm sitting there, I get all this information in my head as I'm sitting there talking to her, and she says, if you don't believe me, there's nothing happened between me and James, then ask your angels. I said, I already did. And they told me that Kevin came back in your life. Nothing happened there, but you did sleep with James. And then she says, she gets real quiet, and she goes, what else did I tell you? I was like, oh, I hate when they come back and go. She basically confirmed it right there, right?
Exactly.
I was like, okay. Well, they told me about your realization and that kind of stuff going on too. But you know, that's a lot to take in. It was amazing later on how she turned the whole thing around, and that was the first infraction I had on a random where she went to a random and complained. And so he's harassing me. I'm going, what? I said, I think I've said hello to you at 3 times in the last 3 months. You know, and it was one of those things. I hate it when women get back with certain guys. They just want to sit there and control everything, who they talk to and that kind of stuff, because they find you a threat.
Yeah, exactly.
She looks at me, and she's one that come across and said, you know, well, let's still remain friends. At the time, I told what I was trying to tell her, I said, right now I can't be your friend. Doesn't mean I can't never be your friend. It's just right now with everything that's happening, I got to process.
Mm-hmm.
And she got kind of angry about the whole thing, so why can't you be my friend? I love talking to people who don't listen. I said, I can't be your friend right now. I just can't do it. And she was like, okay, fine. I'll just take it like it is. You hate me, I guess. So I'm like, okay, I guess this conversation's over because no one's listening. But, you know, it was one of those situations. I mean, I can understand where it comes from. You know, it was like one of those things of someone pursuing you. You said, okay, great. You know, you did the little things of basically coming out and saying, yeah, I feel like that we should continue to get to know each other. But, you know, those situations are unique. There are success stories. They're far and few between. I mean, years ago when they had the freaking millionaire, you know, marry a millionaire, and then they had that freaking, that drama and that scandal and everything else that came out of the whole thing. Well, there was another thing that was actually on the internet, and it wasn't the same thing, but, you know, he found a woman, they got married, and it was a positive outcome, where she married a millionaire. She had this kind of, she had a ideal about money, and it wasn't her focus. She was actually looking for security, but she was also looking for love, too, as well. So that one worked out. But see, that was a positive thing. You usually don't hear about those positive outcomes. You always hear about the negative scandal things. But that also came out the same time as the other one came out in a bad way. This one was good. I just wish we'd hear more about the good things. Give people hope instead of dashing their hopes, you know? I'm not saying you are, okay? But if you, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. If you've never really been in that kind of situation, it's different.
Yeah.
I don't really recommend it for anybody because the thing that's the hardest is because if you start really developing feelings for each other, then there's that want to be together. Now, here's a woman that she talks about the idea. She has the money. So if it does get to that point, she can go, you know. But a lot of people do get in these situations, and it takes months to, you know, orchestrate these things to get them going. Because I know as soon as my thing was I was serious. I don't know how serious she was, but my thing was seriously and creating a plan. I mean, I went through certain things. I got my passport, and you know, my final thing was to get the money for the flight over there, and you have money when I got there. And plus, I had everything else in place too, jobs, companies I've been working for. So therefore, no matter where I went, I always had income coming in. So you know, you put all those things together. But then you can sit there and look at the situation too. You have this plan, and your things are falling into place, and that kind of stuff. And you have a person on the other side going, you know, have you taken care of these things? Have you done this? Have you done this? Have you done that? It makes you wonder what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're too consumed with you and asking you, you know, where are you at? What are you doing? I'm like, okay, but what are you doing? I'm waiting for you to show up. That's a big key right there, guys. They're not doing anything on the other side. You know, so, and sometimes I tell people in this situation, you should be kind of leery of a person who does say, you can come stay with me.
Yeah.
You know, what are they really looking for?
Exactly.
Because it sounds like, yeah, in that situation, I think you got an insecure person who doesn't like being by themselves, and they want you, and that to me, I feel like is still kind of using somebody. Because she's, you know, it's like the idea, do you really care about this person, or do you want this person to just fulfill that loneliness that you have? There's definitely a difference in being alone than being lonely, you know?
Exactly.
So that's a freaky situation. Don't do it. I really highly recommend don't do it.
Well, and not only tell them that, but if something happens and they're staying with you, then trying to get them out of your home is difficult. Whereas if they're staying somewhere else, then you can, like, you know what? I don't like how this is going. I don't feel comfortable. Bye-bye. And you have somewhere to go, or they have somewhere to go. So.
Yeah, both sides of the thing. Yeah.
And then they're like, well,
you're going to go to,
it's like, I can't leave. I don't have enough money to go anywhere, you know. My flight isn't for another 2 weeks, you know. So you have to put up with them, or you have to give them money. It's like, no.
Yeah, it's a crazy situation, too, because if you're going to a foreign country, it's like, I think a lot of people need to understand one thing. It's not like the United States.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to other countries, they're not lenient. And if you go, it's like you go there, and say this person decides, like, I mean, I've been in a couple of situations where people make these decisions in like an hour or so. This is not going to work, and you got to go. Which I think is very unfair, because I've been in these conversations where we both have discussed it, and this is what we're going to do, and we're going to go forward. You know, if someone tells me, I'm going to give you a month to get on your feet, I think they should honor themselves and give you that month. If you don't honor and get yourself on your feet in that month, I think we should evaluate it and see why. I mean, if you're out there every freaking day and you're doing your little thing and you're being responsible, but things are just not falling in place as fast as you wanted to in that month, I'm saying reevaluate, you know. But if you have a person who's been sitting on your couch the whole freaking month, toss them out the freaking window. But they're all different types of situation. I'm just saying, when you get to a foreign country, like I had a cousin who was married to a British girl, and he said the one thing that people have to realize, that when you go to those countries, they're going to sit there and give any kind of assistance to the people who live there, and you are always going to be at the bottom of the list. And the idea was the same thing with jobs, to get hired anywhere. they're gonna hire somebody who's a native before they're gonna hire you. And then if you've got other countries who are not too happy with Americans, then you got to take that consideration of whining in a dumpster. So always make, you know, take a look at the situation. That's the person you're talking to, and see if they're sincere. It's the ideal. I think you understand this, being one step ahead.
Oh, yeah.
You know something I noticed about you, too? You do have that kind of Spock thing. I think you actually have one eyebrow that raises up. Yeah,
huh? I like this. Oh, yeah.
I just have
this
look like,
it's really, you want to stick to that story, or do you want to really tell me what's really going on?
Yeah, I was sitting there thinking about that the other day when you're talking, I noticed that not just are you logical, but you also have the eyebrow goes up going, that's freaking, it's just...
Oh, yeah.
It's like one of those things, yeah, it's like it's freaking weird, but at the same time it's kind of awesome, but wow.
Well, we have another caller who has a question here, so let's see if we'll get a response here. Hang on. All right. 914, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
Good. And what's your name and where are you from?
Charity, and I'm from New York.
All right. What's going on with you this evening, Charity?
Not much. I was just wondering if there's anything the angels wanted to tell me. And then I was listening to you guys talking, and my brother actually just went to England, and he's in a situation like exactly what you described for
yeah.
a relationship, and it's not going the right way. But he's stuck there for another, I think, 2 weeks. Maybe 3 weeks.
Whereabouts?
I honestly don't know the exact location. I can look on Facebook later. That's the only way I can tell where he is anymore. Because he's in the Army, so he bops around from place to place when he's on break. But I did get a phone call from him today, and he was not happy.
Mm-hmm.
I said, have to have him listen to this show if it doesn't rub it in his face too much.
There you go.
He told me he had everything planned out. So when he called, I was like, oh, I thought you were all set. Everything was great. He's like, nobody wants to give me a room.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like, you do that, you got to have a backup plan. You know, you have to have an emergency stash of money or something where if something goes south, you at least have...
Mm-hmm.
Plan B.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look at the area and, like, look at the map because I'm not exactly sure where he is. I know he doesn't have a lot of money with him, but he had a little. And he said that all of the inns or whatever they called it would, like, either they wanted an astronomical amount of money, which would be impossible to complete the stay, or they had no rooms available.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's really weird. And he's like, no. He's like, I don't think they will like me because I'm American. I was like, but England likes America, I thought.
they're kind of on the fence about us. It depends on who's prime minister at the moment.
Not any problem. He is talking about being in the Army for all we know. Who knows?
Yeah, sometimes you just got to go in those situations and keep your mouth shut and just say, I want a room and leave it at that.
Yeah, exactly.
My brother's the same way. He'll walk into situations, he wants to brag, not realizing people are not listening to the positive part. They're looking for negative things to exploit you. Especially people out of Alabama, because the girl I was talking about, she was in a place called Ludlow, which is near Ludlow Castle. And then I had another girlfriend who actually lived in London.
And
those London is very expensive. Now where Ludlow is almost like some of the small towns we have here. It's really cool because she actually took me a ride through town, and the streets look like our alleys, and she was basically flying through this place. I'm just like, you know, slow down. This is freaking me out because it's like we're flying through these, not just through alleys, but it's really hilly over there too as well.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going through certain things and that kind of stuff. But her thing was she also had a tendency to talk too much. So she was talking to a counselor she was working through about me coming over there. So at one time it seemed like she was really serious about it. And the counselor said, well, he's going to have to get something to work here. So I told her, I said, do me a favor. And she goes, what? I said, sometimes it's best to keep your mouth shut because, see, I don't have a job. I have a business like most people would need to go to the countries. That's why I always have those things in place. Not the ideal because it can't be traced. It's the ideal that no one can mess with those things and try to put me in a situation and say, well, you got to do this. No, this is not a regular job. It's internet stuff. And actually, I got a couple of companies I work for now that are basically international companies. So everything changes. And you have to know the ins and outs. It's like Christina was talking about. You got to have a backup plan. Not just the idea of a B plan, but you should also have a C and a D.
You should have the whole alphabet this day and age, right?
Exactly.
Well, you know, when you go to Europe, yes, you do. It's a different ball. It's not like coming here, because if you come here, if you're coming from a different country and you come here, there's a lot of programs out there to help you, actually quicker than Americans, too, in this country. And actually, I saw a couple when we were in Maryland, for one thing was in Maryland, and I was talking to a Spanish couple, and he says, I can be here for almost 6 years, and I don't have to pay taxes. So everything I make at the jobs I work and that kind of stuff, he gets to keep it all.
Oh, yeah.
Until he becomes a citizen.
I interned at one of the Department of Social Services in New York, and one of the things that we realized was that if you checked off, you know, that you didn't want to comment, like if you were going to be anonymous, not just with the race, but with, you know, your what was it called at the time? Hold on, I'm trying to think of the name. Your citizenship. You would actually get through faster, and then you could tell them, you know, when they called you back in that you have your Social Security number. It was like the oldest trick in the book. I was like so shocked with that. I said, oh my God, we don't help our own at all. I was really surprised. I was very surprised. I mean, we help our own, but it was just interesting.
Yeah.
And then I said, no wonder everybody's coming here and we're going to be poverty stricken.
Well, you got to look at the situation. If a freaking person has a drug addiction, if I have a drug addiction and it's an addict, you get disability.
Yeah.
And if you really look into it, you'll see a lot of the cases where, I don't know, it's a conspiracy of the government to get rid of drug addiction people because of one lady in particular I know in Maryland who filed for, it took her, I think, 3 times to get her disability, but when she did, they also gave her back pay, and it came up to about $8,000. Well, 3 days later, they found her in the river where she OD'd. So, you know,
that's
like a person.
Terrible.
Yeah, people with addictions. Yeah, well, I'm just saying with people with addictions, okay, give them disability, but I think there should be some regulations with the whole thing because it's supposed to be helping her get away from the situation and get better because she can't work because of it and that kind of thing. But don't give them freaking money just so they can freely do what they're coming to shoot. Give a person who has a drug addiction money? You know exactly what they're going to do because they're going to be thinking about all the drugs they could have bought, and now they have money to go, now they can do it. And that's exactly what she did. And she
I'm a chemical dependency counselor, and I see it all the time where we have to fill out the paperwork for the people that have the addictions, and as soon as they get the disability, they drop out of the clinic. And it's shocking because then I know other people from, like, my internship and stuff that are really disabled, you know, that have had, you know, bad injuries or horrible, you know, health problems, genetic or so be it, and they're fighting for it for years. So it's really interesting
that
how it all works out.
Yeah. I've actually seen people with drug addictions and those kind of things get theirs a whole lot quicker, too.
I don't understand the process, but I guess we never will because it doesn't seem like it's changing right now.
Well, it seems like when you figure it out, the government changes it.
That's true.
I just want to be, yeah, I'm just saying, when you look at the situation, if you think it can drive you crazy. And I think it's one of the things I always vow to basically ask for less help from the government to the point of asking for nothing, you know? And you know, I saw what was the one guy was he owed taxes. And the guy says, don't you feel obligated to pay taxes for the things you get? And he goes, I don't ask for nothing. Never will. I have no intention of doing that. You know, it's like my friend, she had to pay Social Security. I said, we should be able to be in a situation where it should be a voluntarily thing, pay for Social Security, because there's a lot of people right now that kind of freak me out in the situation that
you
are
may
getting
never
Social
get
Security.
It.
Well, the thing is, too, there's people who are getting Social Security who are also independently wealthy and have all these things in place where they don't need it.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that should be funneled back into the government, the idea of things we really need, because that person doesn't need it. It's just a check. It comes every day. He cashes it, puts it in the freaking bank, but he doesn't need it at all.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people like that, that have, even with retirement, and then those of us that are in the economy right now
mm-hmm.
that doesn't have enough left over after our paycheck, but what's getting taken out, we're not going to have any kind of retirement.
Well, we also have the situation with people who are getting disability, and they can't really make any more money than what they get for disability, or they'll take their disability away. And these are people that are in wheelchairs and that kind of stuff. And it seems like the people who have the drug addictions have no problem. You know, of course, it's probably all made under the table, but, you know, I had a lady who was in a wheelchair, and she was a client of mine, and she was in New York, and she was able to get around. She had her own car and that kind of stuff, but she was in a wheelchair. But she only got $825. She lived in New York as well. And if it wasn't for her parents and stuff. But it was like she gets $825, and she was scared to death to work any kind of jobs and make more than that, or they take it away. But the thing was, the fear, which basically appalled me, because the lady had a potential working on the Internet, working for credit card companies, and doing word processing and putting those bills on the computer, making $2,500 a month. And I kept on telling her that. I said, you don't need a disability. She goes, well, what if this stuff stops? Okay, what if it doesn't? I'd rather have $2,500 coming in than $825, and actually have that connection to the government. Because, I mean, people, I've worked with people before, and the idea is to stop using the word fixed income. Because if you keep doing that, you're right, it's a fixed income. But look at the situation. It's just a source of income coming in. You know? Do you like the drug
addiction?
Oh, they
get so petrified that they're not going to be able to get it back.
Yeah.
I think it's like an 80% rate that disability now goes through
mm-hmm.
For psychiatric reasons. And they
mm-hmm.
they implement addiction as a psychiatric reason.
Yeah.
But then I had a horrible thing that happened to a good friend of mine, that she fell on really hard times years ago, and when she was a single mom. And
mm-hmm.
it was just like the basic food stamp program, not what New York has
mm-hmm.
now. And she was
mm-hmm.
on it, I think, for only like 2 years. And she got a home. You know, she got her life together. She, you know, was always a hard worker, but she didn't
mm-hmm.
have enough money on minimum wage afterwards for food. So she applied for it, and she got it. They put a lien on her house. For not just the little bit of money that they had given her in food for the whole, I think it was like 20-something months worth of food benefit, but also
mm-hmm.
a penalization for not notifying them of like $10,000. It was something like asinine.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that stuff you have to be careful with, because you just never know. But then, like you said, other people can get away with not paying taxes for 6 years.
Nice. Government actually works, and the idea that they do have a plan, or is it just based on individuals? You know, okay, you got money, we want. You know? But then again, I always look at the government and law enforcement, that kind of stuff. Not, you know, it's like we look at television, that kind of stuff, and they portray them as very powerful institutions, when realistically they're not.
No.
You know, they're only as strong as the people within them and the idea of what they get. And when you start looking at certain things, Pauling, you got guys out of prison because of DNA testing, proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that they wasn't the guilty party, and the freaking prosecuting attorney are so stuck in their ways, they won't apologize. They won't say they're sorry. They won't even admit anything. And I think it's what's wrong with our system. No one wants to really admit when they've done something wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think there's a whole lot more strength in admitting that you're wrong, because if you never, ever admit that you're wrong, then you're never going to learn anything.
Do you guys remember that case years ago with that little girl in the 90s, that beauty queen, JonBenet?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
My friend was just talking about it today. I guess they made a movie out of it. And I haven't really heard of it in years, but she was telling me today when she watched the movie, I guess it's, you know, it's still media, but she said when you watch it, it's supposed to have all the, you know, adequate facts, everything's supposed to be 100% authentic,
mm-hmm.
and like a biography, I guess, in a way. And she said
mm-hmm.
that she's more upset now than when she watched it happening, because she couldn't believe how money actually got, you know, was like a perfect murder. I don't
mm-hmm.
know if I'm going to squeeze in the 4 hours to watch it, because, you know, sometimes it's better not to watch something that you know you're going to be upset about because you're powerless, but
mm-hmm.
it's funny that you brought that up, because I was just thinking.
It's a four-hour movie?
It was
movie?
Just a random thing for her to talk about today. Yeah, it's a four-hour, well, probably three without the commercials. Something
wow,
about perfect, I think it's called Perfect Town, Perfect Murder, or Perfect Murder, Perfect.
Yeah, they were all talking about the idea that the father had nothing to do with it. It was the mother who was trying to get rid of it because she was jealous of her daughter and actually supposedly hired somebody to do what happened. I don't know. I never saw the movie, but there was a lot of things that came up in the media not too long ago.
That's what she was
sure,
saying in the movie, that she couldn't believe
the father. Well, they keep saying the father's still alive, but they said the mother had died.
Yeah,
she died of cancer.
Okay. So I was sitting there going, look at the situation, going, you know, it's kind of crazy when movies come out and they bring up things and that kind of stuff, where you think sometimes, is it really worth it? You know, the whole situation of pointing those things out, making people angry again, but, you know, I guess if you kind of solve it, and actually if you sit there and did the research on how many unsolved cases there really are, and then listen to the cops saying they always get their man, when realistically...
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing is just so lopsided. I mean, there's warehouses full of evidence and that kind of stuff on closed cases that they just never did figure out or solved.
Oh, yeah. I think one time I saw something on one of those ID channels or one of those type of channels
yeah.
that you could hit the lotto more times than they actually open and solve a closed case or a cold case, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said I don't think I'm going to watch it, because there's really no sense in getting all upset about something if there's really nothing you can do at this point. If the mother had something to do with it, then she's no longer here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the thing I was getting crazy about, was the idea of how they're bringing all this evidence that's actually making her look like she's guilty when she's not here anymore. That's easy to build that case, because there's no one objecting to it.
Very easy. They
should just leave it alone. Because, I mean, if you do solve it, what's the point?
Now I'm going to avoid her phone calls for the week until she gets
mm-hmm.
over. I was like, what are you going to do, you know? I'm just sitting there listening. But she's not a passionate person like that, so it's just really random
mm-hmm.
that she had brought this up today.
Isn't that nice?
But I get it. When something hits a nerve, I guess you don't want to, it's hard to...
Mm-hmm.
leave a stone unturned, but I'm like, at the same point, the woman died, so what is the point of this conversation? But
mm-hmm.
I was just letting her rant. But it isn't.
No,
it's
all
right.
Well, we're starting to talk about the idea of spirituality, and it kind of stuff getting to a point where you look at situations like that anymore and going, don't need to go there. It doesn't really serve
isn't
a purpose.
Isn't that funny how that happens,
really?
Though? Like, you do. You get that feeling like, all right, why am I going to, you know, put energy on that right now. Let's just pray for the little girl or whatever your belief is and leave it be. Or more so, pray for her brother, because I think he's
mm-hmm.
still alive.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, that's one of the things you got to put in perspective, because I just saw this movie they made about one of the sons that was actually there when Amityville Horror happened. And he was sitting there going, he said the media is the worst on anything and out there, the idea of distorting the facts. Because he said that, you know, I was sitting there watching this. I saw the couple who actually went through this, and they actually had them on this show that long years ago called Mike Douglas Show. And when you saw these two people, it wasn't what they said. It was what you saw on their faces and their eyes. Something scared the hell out of those people. I don't care what anybody says. Something scared them to death. Now, if they wanted to exploit that, go right ahead, man. I got scared to death. I got scared shitless. I want to make some freaking money to compensate myself. Because they talked to the son, and the son was like, you're asking me if it really happened? And he's been traumatized since then. And he's in his 30s now. I think he's like 35. So when you sit there and look at the situation, I think a lot of people have to understand that there's people, like, you know, with the family you're talking about, the mother's dead, but there's still people who are still alive. And I think sometimes you should just put things to rest and leave it that way. Just to protect them doesn't mean every time you turn around, if you make a movie, that could be something that could haunt them. Every time they walk in, it's like they just happen to turn the television on. Oh, shoot, there we go again. You know? It was the same thing with this kid. I mean, he's not a kid now, but if you got to think about it. I mean, this was on the media for over 20 years with the Amityville Horror. It's still on the media from time to time.
Oh, I still hear about it all the time.
Yeah?
Up here, mm-hmm. They're always talking about it.
Well, yeah, she's from New York. It's all about up there in New York.
Oh, this whole place mm-hmm. is haunted, though. That's why I don't watch mm-hmm. any of those horror movies and stuff, because I saw something one time that scared the bejesus out of me, and I don't care to ever see stuff on TV. I just don't want to. I saw one thing one time mm-hmm. in the house I'm in right now, and let me tell you something. I went over and got sage and was going to sleep outside the priest's house. That's how desperate I was.
Well, I did the same
thing.
So
I don't
do
the whole
brother,
holler.
Yeah.
The horror stuff freaks me out.
Yeah, because we did the same thing at my brother's house. I was going to go in the basement, and as I opened the basement door, there's a spirit just standing right there and going, hello, I'll leave you to yourself. And I shut the door, and people think that's kind of funny. I was like, no, that's the only way I can deal with that. I got to shut the door and say, you can have the basement. And then we started finding cats. This was kind of funny because we find cats that have been only dead for a day, and it was like something sucked these things dry. I mean, they were just like, if you saw these cats, you're like, it seemed like the sucker's been down here for a week, and it was like yesterday you saw the sucker jumping around. For some reason, it's like almost like everything went into that freaking basement, didn't come out. And I had a hard time, too, because this was a crazy woman, her kids. She never liked doing any kind of housework or any kind of anything. And then when we moved down there, I didn't realize that we had been separated for a period of time. I was down there for almost a week doing laundry. And it was just like the whole time I'm down there, I'm just like, there's something in this freaking basement that just makes me feel creepy. And it was just really, it was just a creepy house. Every time I've ever gone in that basement. And then the big thing that set me off was when these people moved out, my mom asked me to go back in that house to clean it out. We had to freaking clean the basement out, right? Well, I forgot about the stairs. The stairs run parallel to the stairs that go upstairs to the second floor. Okay, so we come in this house, it's empty, and I've already had mishaps with this freaking basement already, right? So my mom decided to go upstairs to the second floor. When you go up those stairs, it sounds like someone's coming up out of the basement on the stairs. And I was just like, oh, shit. And I was like freaking out because I'm going, okay, what are we going to do here? There's somebody coming up out of the basement. And then we have the mishap when the stairs stop making their noise and no one comes out of the basement. And I look in the basement going, okay, that was just freak. And that's when I heard my mom come back down the stairs. I'm going, that is just not right.
It's funny that you said that, like you just shut the door and left it alone, because that's what I've done. I kind of just mm-hmm. left the extra bedroom that we have back there and was like, all right, you know what, let it have it. Like, I don't want to even, we're selling the house anyway, but it's just funny because everybody's like, oh, get over it. There's nothing there. It's probably just a passerbyer. I'm like, I don't really care. I'm pretty intuitive, and I'm just not going to bother with it. We're just going to leave that dirt under the ground there. You guys want to sleep in there, you go for it. Fine with me.
Exactly. So, Christine, you ever had a mishap like
that
yourself?
I'm sorry? We kind of both talked at the same time, so I didn't catch it.
Okay, I asked you, have you ever had any kind of mishaps like that yourself?
A couple, like a long time ago when I was like 7 years old, we lived in a really old house in New York.
It's always in New York, isn't it?
Yeah, there's something about New York. I don't know what it is. But I would wake up periodically, and I swear to God, there'd be these two sets of red eyes looking at me in my bed. And I would wake up because I would feel like somebody had lifted me up and then dropped me. and I would do that, half open my eyes, and I would see two pairs of red eyes looking at me. Well, it's like two different things were looking at me, like, and they were like there at the foot of the bed looking at me. Only thing I could see is, you know, four red dots, but they were like sets of eyes. And but also there's a back staircase in the house and a front staircase. And every time I take the front fancy staircase, I could never remember actually going to the bottom, walking down the stairs. I'd be at the top of the stairs and all of a sudden at the bottom of the stairs. And I could never remember actually walking down the stairs.
Wow.
This is freaky, too. You know, we're all sitting here talking about crazy stuff. I'm like, freaking, I'm down the front lobby right here. It's opening. And the last time, and I saw something walk by me. That was kind of freaky. Back in 1904, there was actually a guy killed down here in the lobby because this used to be one big restaurant. And his favorite thing to do was to ride that elevator. And he was actually right where I'm at right now. He was actually killed in this spot.
Oh, geez.
Crazy situation. Yeah, I'm sort of going, this is not a good time, okay? And I saw the elevator open 3 or 4 times, and the last time they did that, we also had somebody about a year and a half ago died on the 4th floor. And the elevator kept on going. It was just crazy. The door was opening up all the time. And this one lady who was actually working here just kind of stuck her hand in the freaking elevator and pushed it to the 4th floor. It went to the 4th floor, and from that time on, they didn't have any problems with it at all.
Huh.
So they were thinking this guy wanted to go back to his apartment. I need to go home. I'm just like, it's amazing with certain things. It's just not there's history here either that it's been said in this town, a lot of things are built with that red rock, which is native here. It also has certain minerals in it. Of attractants, copper, and stuff like that. And they think that's the reason we have a lot of spirits that are still here, because of the stones themselves. The church over here is built with it. Actually, Barker House, the foundation around here, is built with the red rock and stuff around here. So it can be kind of creepy sometimes. And I actually invite everybody to come on.
Oh, sorry.
No.
That's why
I was going to say, paranormal people.
I always wonder how come they always, we can get rid of stuff. I don't really know if they can always get rid of anything, because I think most places wouldn't be haunted anymore.
Well, that's true, too, but you got to have residuals and that kind of stuff. And the reason I'm saying that is because I've actually worked with paranormal groups. We went to Cripple Creek, and there's a place up here where sometimes we don't go into places to get rid of spirits. It's the idea of exploring, see what's up. It's the idea of helping spirits move on who are actually causing problems. Or interfering with, you know, the occupants and that kind of stuff. We actually went up there to Cripple Creek to the jail. That was a creepy place. I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, this is kind of cool. We actually go into a place that is really haunted. And so people say, hey, it's haunted, man, check it out. And we're going in there going, nothing's here, man. It's the same thing with the Stanley Hotel, too. A lot of people go to the Stanley, and they actually experience a lot of things there. And then there's other people who go there and don't experience anything. And I think it's because of, you know, I think if you're an open person, spiritually, with that kind of stuff, spirits will mess with you. And a lot of times they're just basically trying to relay messages and that kind of stuff. So they say, oh, here's a person who's sensitive. This person can relay that message for me. If you ever watch a lot of these shows like Medium and Ghost Whisperer and those kind of things, you'll notice like not all the spirits come to these people, but the ones that know for a fact that you've got something that you can pass on to somebody else. Those are the people who usually help move on. Because they have a lot of freaking residuals, a lot of things going on. But when we were in the jail, there was a lot of people there too, but that place was so overwhelmed with spirits and that kind of stuff. And plus it was a tourist place too as well. So I don't think they wanted to get rid of this ghost. It was like, you know, attracting people to come and check it out.
Oh, definitely.
And Cripple Creek. Cripple Creek's a crazy place anyway if you've ever been there. Because most people thought the mines up there had closed years ago, but they still have active mines up there too. And I thought what was amazing about the whole thing was I was walking through this jail the whole time, and the story goes is they actually have the middle part of the jail, which are metal cells, that they actually took from the stockades from a ship. And sometimes you hear these stories and that kind of stuff, and I have a tendency to go, well, you know, it's more myth than it is fact. But the whole time I was in there, I couldn't stand still. You know, what was like I couldn't stand upright. And after I got out of there, I was sitting there thinking about it, going, you know, gosh, I was in there and I felt like I couldn't stand, like I was on a ship or something. And I was like, hold on. Maybe there's more to this fact of this story about them taking the stockades and building this jail around these cells, and there was more to it. So the whole time I was in there, that's what I felt. That's the exact same feeling, like being on a ship. And actually, one of the older ships. Those things had they rocked back, and a lot of people got very on those things. And that's the way I felt the whole time I was there. And I had I had spirits. Yeah, some of the spirits flicked me on the chest. One brushed me on my cheek, one step on my foot, and there was nobody around me. So it was kind of I've been doing this for a long time, but to actually go in a place that active, that was a little overwhelming too. I recommend it for everybody. But
well, speaking of spirits, she asked if you knew anything her angels had to say to her or to her. We started talking about her brother in London, and we kind of got off on that. We never answered her question about the angels.
Oh, it's all right. Yeah. I kept you guys so long. I don't want to hog your conversation.
I know that, but see, the point is, you asked the question, and when you asked the question, I already had an answer. We just haven't been able to give it to you.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm sitting here going, you know. The thing that came to me the most is the idea to listen to yourself. And it's like if you have a message that I keep getting from your angels, is the idea of focusing on yourself. And it said that you need to really focus. And it's the biggest thing to emphasize the most is focus on yourself. I got the phrase, let go and keep letting go. Because there's a lot of things that you have a lot of residuals yourself that you need to let go of. And the idea of getting to a better place. Of focusing on exactly what do you really want to do with your life. It's something that seems like it hasn't been really looked within. There's a depth about it, looking deeper into the situation, you know, passions and that kind of stuff. That makes sense to you?
Yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. So, yeah, people don't understand the idea. A lot of people have a tendency to sway away from passions and what they love to do and that kind of stuff, because most of the time they're not really believing they can make a living out of it. You know, that's the one thing I learned a lot is the idea, since I've been here in Manitou Springs, at each level I go through to actually be more successful, I realize how much I'm still being influenced what I was taught through my family and the ideal limitations. So there's still challenges all the freaking time. And, you know, realistically, I was talking to a lady with a company I work with, and she came in the room. I sat there and told her, you know, you need to get a reading because there's still a lot of things you need to know, a lot more depth to get into situations to change things and that kind of thing like that. And she's like, well, that kind of sucks. I had a great day today, and now since you told me this, now I don't feel so good. I'm like, why not? I said, look at it like this. You're looking at the negative, which means you're still hanging on the negative things that makes you think that way, that you gravitated to, huh? And I was saying, no, I'm saying you still need insights and you still need advice. So therefore, this great day you had, you can continue it tomorrow and the day after and the day after. That's what I was trying to say to her. You know, it's amazing how we all go to that negative side going, okay, so what's going to happen now? And I said, more of what happened today. But it's amazing that when, you know, we have those negative things have a tendency to come to the surface when we least expect it. Pull us right in that direction going, oh my God, what's going to happen now? And I was like, $1 million. And she's like, huh? See, you're still thinking something negative is going to happen. Even when I say $1 million, you're so focused on that, you're not even hearing what I'm saying. So I basically look at him going, nothing to insult you or judge you by, but you're definitely not listening to yourself completely. Or those thoughts wouldn't have got through as quick as they did. So that's what I'm saying to you. The more you the more you listen to yourself on what you really want to do, how you really want to do it, and what direction you want to take it in, you're going to realize that it might be one of those things you pushed to the side years ago that's still coming to the surface because it can still become a reality. Because we were talking to one lady one night.
And
I, Yeah, you should sit through and listen to this one lady. If you go back in the archives, I can't remember what show it is, but there was a lady we used to ask her, and I said, what is your passion? And she wanted to be an artist. But then she came right back and said, but that's unrealistic. And I think we were both kind of like, why? Why is that unrealistic?
I mean, yeah.
That's your path.
Yeah.
And then what'd you say to her, Christina?
I told her, it's like her ultimate goal, she wanted to make a living as an artist in Florida, which is, yeah, it's a huge thing. I mean, and she lived in,
Jersey,
she was living in New Jersey. Yeah, and it's like, okay, that can be your ultimate goal, so what can you do today to take you a step closer to that goal? Because you could tell, she's like, well, she couldn't do that, like, right away, you know, that wasn't realistic. It's like, well, okay, we'll go with that. But what can you do today that will at least get you one step closer to that goal? You know, and she was talking about, you know, well, she used to do art, you know, when she was younger in high school and all this kind of stuff, and in school and taking art classes, and there she was really good at it and everything. It's like, she goes, well, you know, I need to get a job and stuff, like make some money and everything like that, and then I'll take some art classes and everything. And it's like, well, what's keeping you from going to the local art supply store and buying whatever medium you want to work in and just playing with it now? You don't have to be taking the class to be working on art. You know, she's like, yeah, you're right. I was like, just because you can't have your ultimate goal right now doesn't mean you can't be doing something that is getting you closer to that goal. But I basically told her, it's, you know, we have a tendency to just want to jump. If we can't do it all at once, we don't want to do it at all.
Oh, yeah, you hit the nail on the head with that.
Yeah, but it's like, but that's silly, because it's like I was, you know, I said, it's like somebody who wants to do something, you know, be it physical, you know, like some sort of physical activity or something, and they've never been a very physical person before that time, they train for it. You know, and that's what it is. It's, you know, you need to start training for your dream. What can you do to, you know, come up with a training plan? So at the end of your training, you're going to be there. And it's like, don't, you know, just break it down to smaller attainable goals that are putting you in the path of the larger goal. And
that is like absolutely everything I could have even not even realized that I needed answered, because that's what I've been talking about all day to my friends, because I love helping people, but I don't exactly really know where my good advice really comes from, so to speak. And she's always telling me, well, you have to do this and that, and I've already done a decent amount of school and I don't need any more debt because I have kids. And I'm like, well, you know what? There's no way of me helping people any further than I am, because it's going to cost me another $100,000 for a master's degree. So you're right. Your mind always goes to, you know, this is what you like to do, but I'm not going to be able to get there right now, you know?
Yeah, but I'll tell you one thing about
the
education. The education thing you're talking about, there's also alternative ways of getting there. I have a lot of people that are going into nursing and stuff, not realizing the reason they're being pulled in that direction is because they're healers. Not to the idea of becoming nurses, but actually things that I always look at people creating something of their own, not realizing it usually comes within themselves and the idea of their gifts and talents. But everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon and be a nurse. And so my daughter did this and had an ex-fiancé. And I always listen to people, too, and ask them. I said, why do you want to become a nurse? Because you make $75,000 a year. I say, then you're going into nursing for the wrong reasons. Because I guarantee you, when you get into nursing, it's not what you think it is. Okay,
no.
Great. You got $75,000, but you're going to take a lot of that money for health expenses on your back, your shoulders, your arms, the wear and tear on yourself, and that kind of stuff like that, too, as well. And I've also talked to a lot of nurses who also are at least 50 to 100 pounds overweight because of the emotions they're taking. They're going into these situations not realizing they're taking a lot of negativity on you. You're putting your body in an imbalance, and it's going to start collecting a lot of things. And if people don't realize, fat is like water. It is water. And when you start retaining a lot of things, it's because your body is trying to compensate and try to heal. And what it does is, I've done this for personal training, women will freak out because when they start working out, they start gaining weight. They don't realize it's just water, and the body's trying to heal itself. But if you really push it and push it and push it, the body loves to heal itself, but, you know, the ideal, that balance also helps the ideal being able to heal oneself. And they're so busy, and we see this a lot of people, that they're not taking care of themselves because they want to take care of everybody else. They want to help the world. You can't help the world unless you help yourself. And I always recommend people get Doreen Virtue books because, and Dr. Wayne Dreyer and this kind of thing, because they're always saying, you know, keep your mind open and keep yourself attached to nothing because you can make better decisions. Plus, it doesn't really put your body in a state of being over, you know, being overwhelmed or imbalanced. And she also says, she basically says that when you heal yourself, so do you heal the world. You are an example. So see, the ideal, you don't need all the education to be an example. There's a lot of people out there that are helping people right now because they're good at it, not because they have doctrines on their walls. And we also have a lot of doctors who do have doctrines on the walls who are killing people, okay? I don't care if anybody can jump on that when they want to. I know for a fact on certain things I went through, I had a great aunt that a doctor even told this. And see, my family is like this on that side of my mom's family. If you tell them something, and you're a doctor or a cop, they're going to believe you no matter what. They're going to believe you if you're right or wrong, if you're qualified or not qualified. They're just going to believe you because you have that position. And I think we should be more educated to not take people for their position, but actually take them for what they really do know and how it resonates with us. Because my great aunt had to, the doctor recommended surgery for something she really didn't happen. And he even said it to them, too. He's like, you know, we should do the surgery. Realistically, it's not going to make a difference. She was like 82 years old. And they said, you do what you think is best. And my aunt died four days later after having that surgery. And me personally, I look at a doctor who took advantage of something to make $100,000. Because it was all her
best. Same thing happened to my grandfather. Same exact thing. The doctor told us the liver wasn't going to make a difference. And my aunt said, well, what do you think we should do? And the next day he died on the operating table.
Mm-hmm.
So it's true. And I went through something similar with my son. He's going through a lot of medical things right now, but when we first went into the hospital, I kept telling the doctor, you know, it's definitely not viral meningitis because my best friend's an RN. I have family members, you know, other family members in the medical field, and I said, that's not how this happens. But instead of listening to anything I said, she had to be right and put it down on a piece of paper and discharged us. And then 2 weeks later, we found out from the MRI that he has has cysts on his brain, and we're dealing with that now. Mm-hmm. So it is really interesting. You're right. You have to take people for what they are, and not always for what they are called.
It's just that, you know, and, you know, also in the situation, the other equation, doctors and cops and that kind of stuff, they have a tendency to take advantage of those positions too as well. We hear about it all the time. And it's kind of amazing how we still just walk blindly into these situations and not asking questions and doing the whole thing. I remember one thing when I was still married, and every time my ex-wife got pregnant, I went to every freaking doctor's appointment. I went everywhere she went. I remember walking 200 miles. You know, you sit there and look at these situations, and I just feel like if I didn't do certain things, because I remember when my oldest daughter was born, I remember getting into an argument with the doctor, because at that time I was a little further back, and they usually did the ultrasounds, and they also listened to the heartbeat. And if they had a very, very, very strong heartbeat, the doctors just assumed it was going to be a boy, because girls have a tendency to have a different heart tone or something like that. It's not as strong as a boy's. And I looked him right in the face, and, of course, I'm psychic and stuff. And at that time, I just had this really strong intuition, I just knew I was right about certain things. And this one was just very strong. And he was like, it's going to be a boy. I'm like, no, it's not. It's going to be a girl. And he looked at me in the face and said, I will bet you my freaking license on this. This is a boy. I need to go back and get those licenses because I have two daughters. And each time I had my daughters, the doctors were always insisting on I was going to have boys. you know, I got two girls to prove it, and they're very strong-headed, and they love to butt heads, but I'm just their personalities and that kind of stuff. And it's amazing how the doctors, I like doctors who have a tendency to look at situations more closely on an individual basis instead of going by the book. Because I've actually been in situations, and maybe I put myself in situations just to see the truth of things instead of listening to doctors, but I've actually seen women who go into labor, who go certain things, and they'll tell the doctor, this is what I feel like is going on. And the doctor says, no, no, no. I had a friend of mine, his wife, well, that was actually his girlfriend, was going to labor with their first child together, and she felt like there was a leg coming out. And the doctor said, no, you still have 2 weeks to go. Not more than an hour later, they were in the labor room. You know, labor room. labor, and she was, and what had happened was the baby started coming out, and guess what? There was a leg. And it was like, it was just a crazy situation. If they would have done it, if they would have gone when they did, they would have had a dead child. And it was just, you know, it's amazing when the doctors don't listen to their patients as much as they should to get some insight. Because you have to realize the patients are going through this. You're just a bystander who should know better. We can see futures and that kind of stuff, but you lived your life. We're just spectators looking at these things, and I can sit here and look at the choices you've made and what the outcome is going to be, and also realize you can change that too as well. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh no, I'm just thinking because it's just all the conversation we've had. It's very interesting because it's answering a lot of questions that I've been pondering within myself. Mm-hmm. So it's really good confirmation.
How about
even
you, Christina?
With the doctor thing, so it's very interesting.
I was going to ask her, since she's had two kids of her own, has she ever had any mishaps with a pig-headed doctor who wouldn't listen to what you were feeling?
I actually had a very good doctor, and she had like four kids. She had four kids of her own. And, you know, I had a female.
Mm-hmm.
My doctor was female, and she was a mother of four kids of her own. So she was actually a very, very, very good doctor. So she listened to everything I said and stuff like that and took it into consideration and everything and, you know, did not hesitate to change something if, you know, if I mentioned something didn't seem right or whatever. And I knew with my second one, it's like he's got to come out as soon as he possibly can because I'm not going to make it to the 40 weeks. And that was at 32 weeks. I'm like, 32 weeks, I'm like, get him out. And she's like, I can't. You'll have to wait. I'm not going to make it. And she's like, you will. And so the moment I hit 36 weeks where it would be safe, she had me coming in every day, even though, I still technically was a couple more weeks before I had to come in every day. She had me coming in every day, and at the end of that week, starting my 37th week, she's like, okay, we'll induce. And we induced, and he was 9 pounds, 2 ounces. And she goes, I guess it's a good thing we did take him out early. She goes, or it would have been really bad. Because any bigger, and it would have had to be a cesarean. And it's like, oh, I so did not want that. So, yeah.
How much you weigh?
But, huh?
How much did he weigh? Because you booked out for a second.
He weighed 9 pounds, 2 ounces.
Guess I'm not supposed to know.
Wow. I thought my son was big.
Yeah.
No, the reason I said that, because my daughter, when she had her last daughter, the doctor said she was going to have a baby a little bit underweight, about 6 pounds. And when she went into labor with that child came out weighing 13 pounds, and she had to have a C-section with her.
Mm-hmm. God bless. Wow.
That kid could have walked out with the first grade.
See, it's so weird, though, because I've witnessed so many friends and, like, acquaintances and stuff having children the last 2 years especially. I don't know why, just because we're in our early 30s now. And I had a situation where I had a great doctor, but he was limited with the induction, and I was not having a good pregnancy, my second one, my last one, I think. And he had a, you know, the hospital wouldn't allow him to induce, even though I was going in and out of labor, and I was 4 centimeters dilated, and it was really bad. It was dangerous. And when he was finally born, he had gone to the bathroom and everything inside of me. But it really wasn't my doctor's fault because, like you were saying, he had me coming in every day, too. Like, he did the best he could. But then I'm witnessing all my friends and all these other people that I'm, you know, seeing on social media and stuff, and there's not one darn thing going on with them that I can see them complaining about, logic, you know, other than the normal. Most of it's about their figure, mm-hmm. which is amazing, right? And the doctors induce them. Like, it's just like, okay, I'm having a baby on Valentine's Day, and I'm having a baby on St. Patrick's Day. And I'm like, really? It's like, because I almost had a baby that, you know, could have had serious health risks, and I was full term, but I had to wait until I was a week overdue. So I always wonder how that happens. I don't know if you've noticed that since you had two kids. You said, like, a lot of the inductions are just common.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that's why some doctors have a harder time listening to us. I don't know.
I don't know. I think it has to do with being egotistic bastards, but that's just my opinion. But
Well, I love our conversation tonight. I know you guys got to go. But it really helped me answer a lot of questions, and I'll definitely update you.
Good.
Yeah, please do.
Right. More than you even know, believe it or not. It was really interesting.
So good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you have a good evening.
You too. I'm sorry there was a delay. I didn't want to talk over anybody saying goodnight.
No,
all right,
okay.
Well, have a great night. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Thank
good
you.
Night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So where are we?
We're on record mode.
Oh, are we?
We are over time.
I thought we was, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was fun.
You sound so happy.
You guys have got, it's like, we never got our angel question answered. We start getting on our paranormal TV shows and everything and scaring ourselves silly. It's like, wait a minute, answer her angel question.
Yeah. That was funny, too, because as soon as she asked the question, I got an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, okay, and then everything, I mean, come on, everything goes where it's going to go. So, you know, you might as well just hang on.
I know. Yeah. She was enjoying it, you know, but I just thought it was cute. I was like, okay, because she was starting to say, you know, okay, you know, winding down the conversation. It's like, well, before she decides to leave, you know, let's get
right. No, I understand that one, too. I was like, it was just like, you know, how she was talking. The thing I like the most is when she sits there and says, after we, you know, we went the whole conversation, basically, when we got to the angel thing,
mm-hmm.
how everything was said, gave her the answer she needed, and she even said that. You'll never know how much you guys have really answered a lot of things that I was actually thinking about at the time. Because I thought it was
exactly.
kind of funny, because I just had a funny feeling when she started talking about career and that kind of stuff, and the same situation you had with the other girl who had, you know, had her
mm-hmm.
arch and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just one of those things where you look at someone and go, okay, Christina, tell her what happened there, because I think it's going to have a lot to do with it. And then she was just like, oh, that was just like right on, you know, right on the money. I was mm-hmm. like, great.
Well, and that's the thing I'm noticing with a lot of people. It's just like, well, I can't have, you know, this dream that I want, so I'm just not, you know, so I'm just doing this instead. And it's like, well, you may not be able to have that dream that you want right now, but it doesn't mean that you can't be working towards it. You know, I don't
mm-hmm.
understand why you have to, you know, not do anything if you can't do it exactly that way. It's like you're limiting yourself. Stop it.
Yeah. And the lady, when she sits there, I mean, I knew for a fact it had something to do with art. That's why I asked her the
mm-hmm.
question, what are you passionate about? What do you love? so quick, and you know what she said, I'd like to do this, this, and this, and this. But that's just unrealistic. Hold up. we're here for that reason, to help you understand it's not unrealistic.
No.
She was so negative, but then I could feel that she has this positive mode. Like, you remember when she started talking about the idea of how people had been putting her down, too, and telling her she wasn't that talented, so. Oh, that was sad. I hate when people do that shit.
She was talented, but it didn't, but you can't really, you can't make money at it, you know. And it's like, you can, you just have to be creative in how you do it, you know what I mean?
Think about this, Christina. We're talking to people about art and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this town here is just, you know, the whole thing is art, crafts, you know, imagination, creativity, that kind of stuff. So it's amazing how people are crossing our paths. And you said, well, this is unrealistic. Oh, really? I'm actually looking at an art gallery right now. And I said, no. I said, because I saw this one lady. She does this thing where she takes screens from windows and doors, screen doors. And she's actually created a different kind of art using screen, and she colors them and that kind of stuff. And that was something she came up with, and took something in a totally different direction. Now, art schools can teach you the basics and a lot of things. But realistically, most of the things I've seen people come up with, this is some of the influences they've had in their environment. It had nothing to do with the school they went to. And a lot of those people that are fantastic artists don't have any kind of college, which I think is kind of weird. I mean, they can teach you how to, you know, how to perfect things, but you got to have something to perfect first, I think. Well, because, I mean, you've been around situations where I saw this one, and I wanted to say this to you real quickly, too, because it was the idea that this one guy, I was watching, this one thing I wanted to tell you that night, too, I didn't tell you, was like Simon Cowell. And they were doing auditions for the X Factor and that kind of stuff. And this girl comes in, and she thinks she's this fantastic singer. You can tell when you listen to this girl sing. Simon Cowell can be mean, but he had this one right. She sang like a little girl, and she was like 21 years old. And she had this where it's like seeing a 2-year-old sing Happy Birthday at a birthday party who's embarrassed, really low voice and that kind of stuff. And she's thinking she's doing this great job. But see, the thing was, I thought was, and he said the same thing too. He said what was appalling was because her family was encouraging her something that she didn't have. Kept on saying it over and over again. So therefore, they actually came in there and went off on him. You see Simon Cowell get up, and he actually walks back from the table because he's not really sure what's going to happen, because these people, realistically, outweighed him by 200 pounds, each one of them. They were big people. So they come in, so Simon Cowell's like, oh, shit, you know, what's going to happen here? But he looked at him and said, hey, it's like this. And you guys are really the bad people here, because you've encouraged her with the talent she doesn't have. And she still thinks to this day she's going to become a pop star. And she still thinks the same way. And I was like, come on, guys. It's crazy. And at the same time, you see someone encouraging this person to sing and sing and sing. And then the lady we were talking about before, she got this really art talent, and there was a lot of things I did too, you know, on the creative side where people were constantly putting you down. And I was like, okay, what's the difference here? I think some of the people, I think in her case, it was a family who never got a chance at a break, so they're going to push this girl. And think if they keep pushing her, she'll get a break too. But I think it's based on more on the break they didn't get. And I think it's the same when people who do have talent and people keep putting them down because they're jealous of these other people who actually have talents. Maybe even going after their dream, and they're not. They're the first ones that condemn you and criticize you, too. Sometimes I feel like moving to Mars. There's no people there.
They're working on that.
Really? They're going to ruin my neighborhood. Okay, great.
Exactly. They've already moved the robots in.
That's true. I don't know, man.
But, yeah, no, and it's one of those things that I just, to me, it all comes down to you, you know, if you've got something you want to do,